You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
NBA Most Valuable Player, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Giannis trailing the lob. Ooh. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
2 seconds. Middleton. Yes! Chris Middleton.
Nice jumper. Got it!
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Hey there. Welcome to the Eurostep Podcast Network. Post game one, it's weird to say game one because Bucks are, it's been such a playoff oriented podcast network, but this is game one of the regular season, which still very exciting, it turns out. So I am Ty Windisch. I am here as always with my wonderful, elated, scholastic co-host Rohan Kadi, and we are joined by the sage other co-host Jordan Tresky. To break down this game, Eurostep, proudly a part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network. But Jordan, Rohan, how's it going?
It's going good. Bucks have not lost since July. I don't remember the day.
21st?
Well, it would be even more because they came back from the 2-0 deficit. The Bucks won. Bucks won. That's what I was trying to say.
Some might
Bucks
say won. This season they're undefeated, never lost.
Never lost. There we go. There it is.
Also, scholastic?
Yeah, you're
a voracious reader.
Yeah, it's like scholarly, but probably makes less sense. Let's listen.
Also a book company.
Yeah.
And yeah, scholastic fair. Book fairs used fairs. To hit different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're built different. That's what they are.
Tweet the nose smoke emojis. The Bucks did win 127-104. I think we can talk a little bit about the ring night ceremonies at some point. Thankfully, we all got what we wanted from that up front when the owners went out there. But I think just to make sure we do it, because I'm always the one who will like get nervous and be like, oh my God, Pat Connaughton's finishing at the rim was so impressive. Let's go there first. And we are going to go there. Pat was great in this game. Let's talk about Giannis. I mean, obviously, we talked a lot, especially after the finals were over, about his career trajectory, his GOAT case. Eventually, someday, the rare company he's put himself in. I don't know if we here talked as much about right now, today, in the league as it is. Where is he? Probably because it's not all that interesting, right? Like, it's either 1A, 1B, 1C, whatever. At least it was. I think this was a great case that Giannis made to just be one, like best in the world. No ifs, ands, or buts, nothing about it. 32 points, 14 rebounds, including 5 offensive, 7 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks, took 25 shots, 1-for-4 from deep. We saw the jumper wasn't as effective, although more exciting for me, 7-for-9 from free throw with a much quicker motion. So, you know, Rohan, what are your thoughts on how Giannis looked? And is it hard to not just be too excited to even finish this podcast with the way Giannis looks still? Like, remember, we came into the preseason like, oh, is his knee going to be okay? He looks okay. He looks like he's feeling all right out there.
He does. I'll be honest. When you were saying like GOAT trajectory, for some split second, I was like, why are we still talking about Pat Connaughton? Why are you saying he has GOAT trajectory?
Listen,
I got confused.
People
for a
hear the Raptors like, take and they think I'm going way out of proportion. I'm not going that crazy yet.
But then I realized, of course, who we're talking about, who was officially named also as one of the 75 greatest players of all time by the NBA and their panelists, however they're choosing it for this 75th anniversary season, which the Bucks kicked off today. It was expected, which is wild, right?
Yeah. He's 26.
He's on this list.
Like they lasted this, 25 years ago? He was one years old. That's what's crazy about this.
Is he going to be the youngest player on the 75?
Oh, it has to be, right?
Like, unless Jokic ends up making it, which doesn't...
I don't think Jokic is going to make it.
I don't either.
I think it's too soon for him. I mean, even though they're...
I think he will make it eventually.
Yeah.
It's not now.
Yeah.
I mean, you never know. I mean, it's like, I don't know when they voted. Like, he doesn't have an MVP. You never know if he'll make the cut or not. But yeah, I mean, not yet 27-year-old on the top 75 is cool, even if I disagree with how they're rolling out the list. But I'm sure it means everything for Giannis to be in the storied company of Hal Greer. But Rohan, your Giannis thoughts from the game.
Let's just hope Adam doesn't also love Hal Greer as much as he loves Bob Pettit when he hears this. Actually, I hope he does. I hope you catch flack for that. But it was incredible. It really was. He picked up right where he left off, honestly. He really did. He looked like he was out there playing in the finals again. It was a little scary at first because he was taking a lot of shots, and like, especially early on, it wasn't super efficient. And again, it doesn't end up being super efficient. Like, he gets 32 points on 25 shots, even including 7 of 9 from the free throw line. So it's like, you could improve the efficiency a little bit, but still the numbers are incredible. It was a little bit of scary hours right there, because I was like, okay, he's playing Brooklyn. Is he about to regress into Brooklyn series Giannis, where he's just trying to go shot for shot with KD, not going to his shots, but trying to take KD shots? And it looked a little bit like that early, but eventually he settled into his zone. He went back to what he does best. And like you were saying, Ty, the jumper didn't look incredible, but he was going to those shots a little bit more, which is good to see. How else are you supposed to work on it without practicing? And that's what the regular season is now for the Bucks. It's just practice. So it was a great performance. Can't say enough good things. Just, we are incredibly lucky. I'll say that.
Yeah, I mean, the efficiency could certainly be improved, but a lot of that was like early bunnies where, you know, they as Ty often notes, the Bucks weaponized their size and cleaned up on the boards.
Yeah, those Ersan style tippins.
Exactly. And I mean, the finish that he had, that like Eurostep with the left hand that just kissed off the glass that went in, that was incredible. The block on was it
Claxton?
Claxton?
Claxton, the dunk. Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
But he also had a block on a KD jumper as well.
Yeah.
There was one block. It was the Claxton one.
The clipped one earlier was Claxton. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was just like, oh, that's some block all over again. Yeah, like it's like he's playing the hits. That's what it felt like. He's just playing all the hits right now, and obviously, going 7 for 9 from the free throw line, that's great. Like, it just, there wasn't that much to really pick at, obviously. And it's game one of 82 of the regular season, plus whatever else that they add on to in post. Like, he doesn't look any, you know, worse for wear, obviously.
Yeah. And I think I would say my thought of the game was, like, I think it's even better for the best in the world case, or just like his, where he's at now as a player. Like, a lot of the, I don't want to say 50-50, but like a lot of the more variable parts of his game weren't there. Like, he did miss some bunnies. The jumpers weren't all falling, even the mid-range shots. He wasn't getting great calls on defensively, I think, even. He had a few turnovers. Like, you know, there's some games, I think, when you're a player where it's just like, you know, every ball that hits rim 3 times goes in, and you know, you get good calls and everything else. Giannis wasn't the beneficiary of that kind of, you know, could go either way stuff. And he was still great and dominated the game. And I think maybe my favorite stat, I know people hate this, I don't hate it as much as some, single game plus minus plus 25. Like, in a game where the Bucks were by halftime without five-ish rotation players, like they're playing Justin Robinson, Sandro Mamukelashvili, and I mean Wara, but I think that's less of a surprise. Khaled Zake has checked in, but not till pretty late, so I wouldn't count that. But they're without a lot of pretty important players, and they dominated his minutes. Like every, I don't know if this is true, but it sure seemed like every run of Giannis's minutes, they won. At least they kept even, but it seems like they won. And these are like against KD and Harden, and it just didn't matter. He was just better. And I thought it was funny the early ones when he wasn't, like when he really wasn't hitting his inside stuff. I love that he weaponized the size and just started bullying. Like personally, I don't see it with Claxton like some others do. I don't see him as that much of a threat. I think he's a good perimeter defender. I don't think he's great. Drew before he got hurt, and we should talk about Drew, but like Drew put him on skates. He wasn't shutting down Chris. And when he ends up on Giannis, Giannis sees food when everyone on Brooklyn defends him, but he's just not strong enough. Like if he and Giannis are by the rim, Giannis is getting every board. Like it was repeated over and over. And then if you're the Nets, it's like, okay, so we can't play him as the only center. It's going to happen if that's KD out there with him. So they're playing like Claxton and Blake Griffin and LaMarcus and Millsap. You're just giving up so much on all
offense.
James Johnson too.
Like,
great point, James Johnson.
It's like this. I don't know. Like, it's just this like goon squad that like James Johnson once upon a time was like a bothersome defender for Giannis.
A lot of these guys were. Millsap Blake, was once an elite.
Blake
defender.
Griffin obviously had Millsap too. Blake Griffin had his moments as as we remember from the playoff series, but like. When you kind of combine it all together, from the Nets perspective, it just feels like more of a misuse of their like personnel and tools. Like and Claxton, like you said, it was a rough night for him all around. He was pretty terrible.
I mean, they just kept spamming the lotto. He probably ended with a solid box score line because Harden threw him like 18 lobs, but it wasn't effective enough. It feels like they have all these big guys, and none of them are big enough. Like, you need to be bigger than this to play with Giannis since he made the shift, even though he's taken some jumpers, to play more as like a big guy. If you're not big enough and fat, and again, it's probably harsher than – it probably seems harsher than realistically it is because there's so few guys in the league, but – like, they just have no one who is, like, big and a little bit mobile. Like, Blake is probably still their best option on Giannis. It was really big that he re-signed. Still not that good of an option, though. I don't know. Roja, what were your thoughts on the Nets bigs or just the Nets personnel in general? Like, one of their signings seems great. The rest don't seem so great right now.
They're just cooked. They're all cooked. Like, okay, that might be harsh, and I might be just overreacting to one game here. But Paul Millsap did not look playable at all. LaMarcus Aldridge absolutely did not look playable.
When he missed all those middies, I was like, okay, no. Like, that's literally his thing.
Like, I'm pulling for LaMarcus, man. I picked you to win Sixth Man of the Year. I want Paul Millsap. I mean, not Paul Millsap. LaMarcus Aldridge to be good. It'd be a great story, and just it seems like a good guy. Just it's not there. Blake Griffin does not move quick at all, and the evidence for that is when he tries to like do like the Jordan fake with his shot, and like it doesn't move Brook Lopez, who's not like the quickest of foot, and you're like, oh, that pump fake did nothing against the slowest guy on the Bucks. Okay. So that I just described the Nets big rotation. The other guy, Nick Claxton, like you were talking about, Ty, we mentioned this. We were talking about this with Matt Brooks on our preview podcast. He's more of a wing defender. He's not really a big defender because he's not strong enough. He really isn't.
Yeah.
Especially against the Bucks. It's what we were talking about last year, just all over again. And they don't have Jeff Green this time. That's it.
It's a really big loss.
They're going to get dominated on the glass. They're going to get bullied inside, and that's the Bucks' path.
And they don't have like that's. I mean, Jeff Green game five showed like he could stress the floor and make shots. Yes. Like you're asking a lot of Aldridge, Blake, Millsap if they all are playing in some capacity. Like that's a lot. Like I think it comes out to like, it's just everybody that they kind of went after in the depth signings were these names. And granted, as Ty alluded to, like Patty Mills is probably everybody that who are Bucks fan or every Bucks fan wanted to see on this team.
God.
Proved it tonight. But like when you're seeing like Paul Millsap struggle the way he was doing, like James Johnson has kind of faded out into NBA obscurity, but once upon a time was kind of a, you know, he was worth a decent sized contract from the Heat at one point. Like
Heat culture.
They kind of like sought up these names and you're just kind of like, see if it sticks. And I mean, game one of, you know, an 82 game regular season is not going to be representative of what happens in, you know, March, April, and then playoff time. But like, it was very rough.
Well, but I agree. It's very easy to overreact now. But the other side of that coin is like, do you expect LaMarcus and Paul Millsap and Blake Griffin to be playing their best ball 8 months into the season? Like,
no Bruce Brown minutes until late.
Until the very end. Bembry, too, who I think, I don't know. I don't know if it matters. A lot of these guys are similar. Like, they sized up at the expense of Jeff Green's scoring, but they didn't size up enough. Like, it wasn't a meaningful size up. Like, they got out-rebounded by 10 anyway, and that's even with, you know, the Bucks without Portis, who would add a lot rebounding-wise, having to play small, having to play Mamu real minutes. I think this was on the broadcast, but outside of Patty, who was 7 for 11, do you know how many shots made Millsap, Aldridge, Javon Carter, and James Johnson combined for?
I'm going to guess zero.
Zero. None of those guys made a shot. Patty Mills was the only player on the bench to hit a field goal. I think they combined for 2 points. LaMarcus 1 for 4 on free throws. James Johnson 1 for 2 on free throws. Like,
and so like that can, they can get away. I mean, I'm not going to say that they're going to fill it up. I mean, they have Kevin Durant, they have James Harden, you know, two of the greatest scorers. It's the fact that
one of the greatest scorers.
Concede.
Okay. Whatever. What? Come on.
But you know what I'm trying to say? Like, that's already good around those two. It's the fact that all the sideshow stuff with, you know, Kyrie, and he's not there. And the Nets are going to, you know, they think they're going to be a different team when all three are on the court together. It's more of a question when they all are going to be on the court together, obviously. And it's that. And to another stat too, 16 second chance points on 13 offensive rebounds for the Bucks. Like, they're just such a big team. And I know, like, you know, obviously with Bobby hurt to start the season, you know, injuries have kind of floated around the Bucks concerningly, but like, they still have enough guys that go after it and really show it. I mean, guys like Jordan Wara was really making hustle plays today. That really, you know, impressed me that like they can downsize but still have that same fight for loose balls, you know, making those hustle plays that frankly the Nets didn't really show at all. They were kind of like a step slow in any kind of 50-50 ball that came their way.
It did not look like the Bucks were the team who played a month longer. In this game, one bit to me. And the team that was without five players, obviously the one that Brooklyn is without is better than the guys the Bucks were without. But I do think with Patty Mills playing the way he played, I almost think the Bucks might have felt their absences more just because the depth was so tenuous. I mean, the Nets got to play the guys that they intended on playing, right? Like, I don't know if it helped them all that much, but like that's the team they put together. Like, they weren't without many. They were, again, one guy who's quite good. But when Patty Mills comes in and fills it up the way he does, I think the Bucks at least felt the absence as much just in terms of, okay, yeah, Justin Robinson's actually going to play a little bit in the third quarter. And that wouldn't have happened without the fifth absence. Let's circle back to this, which is a bummer, but seems like hopefully less of a bummer than I was kind of worried about. It's a weird way to put Drew Holiday leaving with a heel contusion. Dr. Rohan, do you want to weigh in on the injury? not literally a doctor. Sorry, I shouldn't say that because you actually will be a doctor eventually.
Hopefully. But
yeah, future doctor, maybe Rohan.
That's
a medical title.
It literally could be anything. It just means that there is a right heel injury. That's literally all it means. Jordan, you were saying that Bud already mentioned that they conducted an MRI in arena and they came back clean, which is good news. You know, they just take care of that right away. And obviously, if there's any sort of injury, you're gonna hold them out. This is game one of like 100, so you don't need to play it. Especially like this game, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter, right? Like it's sure you want to win ring night, you want to win the opening night, but come on, it's a regular season. Who cares? So it's fine. It was just precautionary. I think Drew should not really miss extended time from this, but we shall see. The Bucks have been very, very cautious with their players for good reason, because they treat them so well in terms of their strength and conditioning. They do a really good job of taking care of their guys like that. So it shouldn't be a major setback for Drew, who did look incredible in this game before he went out. Like, my goodness.
They saw on the broadcast. Marcus Johnson reports on the broadcast. He's working on the finishing. He made the layups. And look what happens when Drew – he also made 2 of 4 threes, but he made the layups, which is big for Drew. 5 for 5 from two. Bucks had a lot of guys who didn't miss a shot from two, which really shows, I think, how comfortable they are attacking Brooklyn's interior. Like, a lot of guys looked very comfy going after the Nets. But Jordan, pick which one of the guys. It doesn't have to be a guy who looked comfortable. I guess that's all of them. But who should we talk about next? We got the sad news. We made fun of Brooklyn's roster. We got Giannis. We can go anywhere from here.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I'm debating between the new blood, semi-new blood.
Yeah.
Or let's go Pat. Let's do Pat. I mean, hitty early shots, hitty threes, I think three threes in that first quarter or something, is pretty quickly. As you said, very comfortable driving on guys like Joe Harris. I think Kevin Durant at one point. I'm still kind of thinking if that was a dream that I had last night. But yeah, like pretty sensational. Like, again, another guy that's kind of have to fill in for Bobby and play more of a four, which, as I know you talked about a lot, Ty, like that kind of suits him more than being just like more of a wing defender, just because he is so versatile. And, you know, you're basically, as we saw with like PJ during the playoff run, you're just like, you know, an innings eater at that point. You're just going to take any shots and anything that any, you know, anything your way kind of thing. And yeah, he looked spectacular. I was surprised to see that he finished with 20 points. With not, it's not often that you see him crack that that mark, but that's
double digit threshold. Not even just
20. Yeah, like it's when you see it, it's like, oh yeah, he's hitting threes. But like, it wasn't just hitting threes. It was the fact that he was driving the way he did and looking very comfortable doing it, finishing the way he did. Like, it just, he looks, I think Adam and I talked about it a couple of weeks ago, but as much as we talked about, like, you know, the Bucks kind of prospect pipeline under Bud, and the draft history certainly has not been strong over the last few years, the fact that they just, you know, he comes from Portland and, you know, this unheralded signing, and he blows up in the way he did, he becomes a, you know, significant contributor for a championship caliber team, and is looking the way he is, just, he's improved his game little by little each and every year. That speaks volumes in how their development and just how things kind of progress when, you know, continuity is built up and you're playing with the same guys and same core, you know, for what, this is his fourth season walking now. Like, it's pretty wild to see him blossom in the way he has, and just, you know, he looked lights out today.
This was the fourth game of Pat Connaughton's career when he scored at least 20 points. I think his career was 24. He did that as a member of the Portland Trail Blazers and managed 2 20-point games last season. So
he did what?
Yeah, exactly 20.
I don't remember during those the playoff at all.
Was any of them what?
During the playoffs?
Oh, I didn't look at postseason. That's regular season.
Did this during the regular season?
Yeah.
What? Yeah. When?
One of the Toronto losses and a Pacers blowout win. But as you said, Jordan, 4 for 10 from deep in the Toronto loss, 6 for 7 from deep in the the Pacers win. So usually with him, it is like he just makes a ton of threes. This game was a little bit more. He's never scored 20 in the playoffs, by the way. This was more of a mixed bag scoring. And I do think, you know, it's funny to, you know, I think it's hilarious whenever you can say role player X on the Bucks scored as many as star Y on the Nets.
The Bryn Forbes, Jimmy Butler.
The memorial stat. We got Pat and James Harden coming out with 20 apiece in this one.
There we go. More than Kyrie too, right?
Yeah, Pat Connaughton scored, you know, as much funny, as Kyrie
we,
and Harden
we
combined.
Scored as much as Kyrie did.
That's right.
Exactly.
Us and Pat scored as much as Harden and Kyrie. But it is a big deal if he can convert some more shots at the rim. I just think, you know, when you're looking at wing players, I don't want to use the term elite, but like really skilled two-way wing players, it's like, can you do...
Rowan's laughing. I'm sorry. He's laughing.
I didn't say the word. I have to look away from the screen sometimes.
But there's... Sorry.
But it's like, that's... You need the... As a wing player, like as a not initiator player, you need the bag of, can you drive, kick, or shoot? Like those three things. Pat's passing looked pretty good. He's not a guy who turns the ball over. He had 0 turnovers again, which is a common thing for him. We know he can shoot. And I think, honestly, the shot looks as good as ever. Like, one of them was audacious, like running and falling out of bounds. But I think
quarter three.
Yeah, it's a little too much. He probably could have settled down a little. But he almost made it, too. It was a down and up, in and out shot. But he looked very confident, and the stroke looked good. But I just think, like, if he can add that drive aspect to the game, it's going to help him a lot. And it's just, you know, I tweeted this at one point, and it sounds a little corny, but it's like, I think a lot of people, myself certainly included, got jokes off, like, oh, signed Giannis's workout buddy, you know, the same summer they signed his brother. Like, okay, you just, whatever. Maybe it's not a stupid idea to invest in guys who are, like, in the gym as much as Giannis and, like, really steadfastly working on improving their game. Like, maybe that's a good thing to keep that stuff in mind. I feel like, you know, especially, like, a few years ago, the analytics movement and everything, there was this urge to just, like, throw away all those kind of ideas. Who cares if he's a hard worker? What's his three-point percentage? Everything else. Shouts to Pat, who's, like, completely reinvented himself as a very good wing player and clearly is not satisfied with what he was last year, which was a very good wing player. Go ahead, Rohan. Mock me.
It's not. I'm not mocking you. It's just funny. Pat Connaughton in terms of wings. I don't want to use the term elite.
Well,
but...
Well. Hey,
star in your role. That's what he does.
Gets better every day.
Yep. That was very funny. I had to tweet that out as we recorded.
Oh, good. Oh, great. Perfect. That's a great tweet. Okay, that's a great tweet.
Rear the season.
Yeah. if anyone listening to this who saw that tweet as it happened, shout out to you.
I'm picking up where I left off. Rohan, you can talk Pat if you want, or pick another,
yeah,
another player.
Pat was really good. Like you were mentioning, just his ability to
would
finish
say
the rim and just... I wouldn't use that term yet.
But
you convinced me on the jersey retirement. You might convince me once the season.
Yeah, they're gonna have to put another a banner of the Raptor come, I don't know, 2032.
You think Pat's gonna be playing here in 10 years?
Well, to retire. I mean, he could actually, that's true. Anyway, sorry, I totally ruined your point.
No, it's okay. It's just like that's the one thing he really needed to add to his game, aside from like, you know, point of attack creation and stuff like that. But that's asking for a lot. But just his ability to drive is like, okay, if you're in the playoffs, and he was a great catch and shoot 3-point shooter. He was great at it during the playoffs. Absolutely incredible. But if he can add like that extra element of downhill playmaking to his game and downhill shot creation to his game, like, he's already been decent at it, but that's just what separates those 3-and-D wings, right? That's where you get into, like, I'm not going to name names, otherwise I'm going to get carried away if I start naming names. Mikhail Bridges sort of territory.
You know what comp I don't hate that I was thinking about today?
Miles Bridges.
KCP. KCP was nobody really cares that much about KCP, but... He was like one of the Lakers' best players when they won the championship in the bubble. And I just think – I think Pat might offer a little bit more defensively than he does, and maybe he'll continue to get better offensively too. But just that, like, just steady. Like, you just need guys like that who are just like you – I think you were half joking and just going off the elite thing. But, like, starring in your role, like
– No, it's true.
It's really positive.
It's the stuff that gets you paid crazy amount of money. Like, that's what it is.
How wild is it if Rohan's dead? The Pat C combo. This tweet is picking up traction, too. I'm getting some retweets on that. But Pat's probably going to opt out of his contract after the year. Isn't that funny? It's like a $5.7 million player option. Like, I think he's obviously going to opt out at this point.
Well, we're coming off the heels of Grayson Allen getting a – 10 million or not 10 million, but an extension. And it's like you kind of, I mean, he looked decent. I know he missed shots tonight, but like the overall function that he has in the offense, I mean, it's pretty kind of clear cut. It doesn't, you know, like we kind of, it's what we expected when they made the trade for him a couple months ago. Like, so like when you kind of have that compliment of a sharp shooter like him and who's more, you know, I would say offensive, not ready, but just something more.
He's got more on-ball juice for sure.
Yeah. And someone like Pat, where he can just kind of fill, he just fills in so many holes that, you know, once upon a time, I don't think we ever would have expected him doing.
No, that's the thing. He really turned it around. Let's talk about Grayson while we're here. I'm excited to talk Wara. I think that makes sense next. But Grayson Allen, not a great shooting debut. I wonder... maybe Giannis saying, hey, if you're open, you better shoot. Maybe a little bit of pressure on Grayson. Like,
he looked nervous early.
I think he really did. 3-for-10 from deep, and that's from the field. He didn't – on the opposite of Pat – not the opposite. He didn't even take it to. But I think the good thing, and kind of speaking to that juice off the dribble, 6 assists for Grayson Allen, 4 rebounds, and 2 steals. And this is something that I think also applies to Wara. I don't think Grayson is a tremendously consistent, you know, on-ball, off-ball defender, play-to-play. But if you can poke a couple balls out and get the Bucks moving in transition, like, you can make up for some of those sins. I think that's true for Wara as well. Like, I don't want to just make the whole Grayson thing about Wara. Wara really makes some explosive defensive plays. But it's like it's not like – I don't know. I just think it helps a lot. But, yeah, it wasn't a super inspiring debut from Grayson. But I do think you saw, like – okay, it is nice to have someone else who can create a little bit off ball, especially after Drew went out. Like, you just need some guys who can start pick and rolls. Or, I mean, what he did a lot was super unsexy, but like dribble over to the left wing and just get the ball to Giannis in the post. And it sounds like such a simple thing,
He was good at being an outlet.
The Bucks have had, no, and the other that too, but they're just getting the post touches set up. The Bucks have had a few guys who like really could not do that. So just like making those actions easier was nice, I think.
Yeah, it was really good to see him sort of be in that role right off the bat. Like I mentioned up top, he did look a little nervous with his shots. It's almost like, oh man, I'm wide open right now. These are the type of shots I'm going to be getting. Oh man, I'd better hit this. Sort of thing. It looks like he was taking a little more time than usual to get a shot instead of just, you know, going in rhythm. But it seems like he found game speed right away. And that's to be expected. Like, he played last season in Memphis. They're not playing many high stakes games, especially like you're not playing in a game against the Brooklyn Nets where you're like, oh God, this is basically the finals when it comes playoff time. Like, and I'm going to be taking these shots. Like, I'm not pretending I know the psyche of Grayson Allen, but it's easy to see how you could feel like that in that situation. And he did look more comfortable as the game went on, and he sort of got into a rhythm. Like that transition three after the Wara block, which we'll talk about, that was in rhythm. It was crisp. It was clean. And he just found a shot going forward.
That stop on Harden too, like,
ooh, was yes,
fourth quarter. Like, that's where you're saying, like, you're not expecting him to be this ball stopper or be anything more than what he is. He's not. He's more on the slight side. He's not Bryn Forbes level where you're just kind of like crossing your fingers and hoping he, you know, stays upright. But he has something there where he knows how to play on the floor. And yeah, that was really impressive. And like you said, the six assists. There was overall, like, whether it was passes to Grayson or he just kind of had the ball moving, which is another point to like Pat's just kind of overall repertoire. The ball was just like zinging and popping everywhere. And it compared to like how we saw them against the Nets during the playoffs, which, you know, that's on another level of stagnant ball movement and all that stuff. It was really juiced up tonight in terms of just their kind of, I don't know, just their offensive ball movement.
Yeah, I think like, I'm just okay with that trade-off from defense to offense, whether you're talking about Dante or PJ. I think Grayson not as good as either on that end. But if you can provide more, especially just more consistently and more tools offensively, I just think it's worth it, because you look at the projected four starters and it's Drew, Chris, Giannis, Brooke. When Chris is the worst defender in a group of four, you know it's a damn good group of four defenders. Three of the guys are like in all defensive consideration, at least a little bit for Brooke's case. Giannis and Drew might both be first team. Like, you can afford it.
Again.
I just think it's a really smart trade-off. And again, I don't think Dante gets traded. We never know. I don't want to get into the whole Dante thing, but they'll still have that flexibility when they're healthy of playing more defense if they need to, but I love having the offense to start. So I just think I know our listeners probably watched every single minute in the playoffs. They needed offense more. And I think it was a smart move to go for it. Speaking of offense, Jordan Wara. I love that we did a full parabola on Jordan Wara, because we started right after the playoff run. Hope he's ready. He's going to have to play. They're not going to have any guys. And then he's not going to play a single minute. They have so many players. And now part of it is injuries. But now it's like, okay, he's right there in the rotation again. I think this is the kind of game that means he's not going to leave the rotation again. I thought he was a little shaky at first. I thought he got it together, though. 15 points, 6 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block, 1 turnover. 6 for 13 from the field, 3 for 6 from deep. I mean, I think bigger Bryn Forbes is actually insulting to Wara at this point. I think he offers a whole lot more than that, although I see that comp thrown around. But Jordan, you go first. What were your thoughts on Wara, the scorer, tonight?
As you said, I think he had a kind of have Grayson like shakiness to, you know, shake out, I guess. But when it got to it, and, you know, injuries are affecting the Bucks rotation, starting lineup, obviously. I mean, it was really, really, really strong stuff. Doing stuff that, you know, there's the scoring that he obviously brings, but like his handle looks a lot tighter. Like he would kind of lose it pretty quickly sometimes if, like, you know, he's kind of getting pressure from, you know, opposing defenders and all that stuff. What always has kind of been the thing for me that's been more interesting, but outside of just, you know, how quickly he gets his shot off, he, if he like connects all of like his just, you know, handle and all of his moves and everything, he's just so big in ways that like, there's like, he is the closest thing to like Chris on the roster, but he just has more size and just kind of can finish through people. And like the score that he had at the end of the third quarter, yeah, right?
The buzzer beater, the floater.
Yeah, the buzzer beater.
That was like, my play of the game from him for sure.
That's like something that's they just haven't had in terms of like outside of, you know, the core of Giannis, Chris before that, like Bledsoe and, you know, obviously now Giroux. I mean, Malcolm Brogdon kind of, you know, was more of a driver than he was like, you know, lights or like high volume shooter or anything like that. But he just, I don't know, it's a different kind of dimension that he gives them that is just so impressive. And I mean, the defensive effort tonight was really there, like it locked in more than we've ever seen.
Yeah.
To put it plainly. The block on KD was just ridiculous. I think he had a quote that he thought he was going to get punched in the face.
He thought he was going to get punched on.
That makes more sense.
Maybe he's worried about KD's bodyguard.
That's true.
We didn't see him. Consequences for getting KD's face.
Nope. Anyway, I wish that could have been a joke. Yeah, impressive stuff. 15 points, whatever. Was it 6 for 13?
From the field, yeah.
Yeah,
let me simplify this. He's a hooper.
Yeah, he is.
There you go.
He is a hooper. I mean...
No, but in all seriousness, though, like, what you're talking about during that unknown, like, unseen dimension, I should say, about a Bucks role player, just the ability to create off the dribble for yourself. That's it's so simple, but it's also like so foreign to the Bucks in terms of their role players.
Yeah.
Like they've been filling out their roster over the years to like fit specific roles. Like, oh, you get shooters, you get defenders, you get guys who are shoot pass dribble. That's what John Horst always loves to say. You need guys who can do all of that. It's difficult. It really is because these guys are talented. But you just got to get some of these guys who can just create for themselves. Like, obviously, Giannis, Chris, Drew, those guys are just, you know, they're the stars of the team. So you can't really say, oh, those three are role players who can create for themselves. It's just like another guy, just who's another outlet for you, who's like, you can give the ball to them and say, hey, can you score, please? We literally have nothing else working for us. That's what Jordan Wara can be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I don't want to rule out Rodney Hood coming back and being good. I think Rodney Hood, when he does come back to action, is going to have like an uphill climb to getting that bench spark plug role out of Jordan. Like, I just think Jordan Wara has got a real chance here to firm this up. And being this good in this kind of a game against that opponent is just huge. Like, the floater, I thought, was my play of the game for him. No, I don't do this for every player. But, like... He just had too many like dribble, 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 step back threes possessions before that. And it looked like it was going to be another one. And I was like, you got to vary it. Like, he's not hitting the roller on pick and roll. Granted, some of those were Mamu rolling, which is not ideal. And Brooke, I think, just like when Brooke catches the ball too far from the basket in traffic, it's just very like the opponents poke it out a lot of the time. He kind of needs some space. But he had to do something else. He had way too many step back threes, and he kind of lulls. I think it was Claxton actually to sleep on that. Which again, like Claxton, he lulls him to sleep, gets by him by not. And again, like you said, Jordan, the dribble package looked nice. I mean, he kept control of the thing. He definitely was playing on the fact that he had taken so many step back threes. Gets by Claxton like a floater. Heading toward Durant, I think, which is probably qualifies as the Nets' best interior defender. Just a really impressive bucket. It was a shot clock buzzer beater, not the quarter. But the Nets, I don't think, got up a
shot. That's right, yep.
I don't think the Nets got up a shot afterward. I know at the end of the first quarter, Harden chose not to do the heave, which I always think is funny. But really impressive game from Jordan Warr. And especially if you assume Drew is going to be out for a couple weeks, maybe less, a couple games at least, most likely. Portis, if he takes a while to get back, they're going to need that offense. And it's kind of exciting to see what he'll get to do in that role, as long as everyone does get back healthy soon, obviously. Maybe exciting, not the right word, but it is a silver lining.
That's the thing is that, like, you know, Adam and I were talking about this yesterday. Like, this is very well the deepest roster the Bucks have ever had. But at the same time, you know, not all of those players are going to stick. You know, whether it's due to injury or just it never works out. DJ Augustine. But, Torrey, you know, like...
Final secret weapon, Torrey
Craig. I thought you were going to say Torrey Craig.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we know firsthand these, you know, trying to fill in these role players doesn't, you know, always work out. But, like, this is the kind of games where if you can put it consistently, which, you know, that's the biggest challenge for any, you know, rookie or sophomore like Nora or Wara is. If he, you know, takes this opportunity and runs with it, like, that's what gets him not just foot in the door. It's, you know, he's the eighth man, seventh man,
yeah,
you know, in the rotation. So that's where it's like these games are big steps for him. And, you know, obviously it wasn't like Bud was kind of forced to put it into the game because of, you know, where they have been and just the amount of players that are still out to start the season. But, you know, it won't be long if he can string this together that Bud's going to have to keep turning to him just because he offers such a, you know, the offense really pops when he has it going like that.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you think about fully healthy Bucks teams. I don't know how often we'd see it, but that lineup that they like with the starters, but pad in for Brooke, their go-to small ball like lineup.
Small, yep.
Like Wara in for Pat in that group could really be, I mean, Pat, we just talked about how great Pat has been, and I still agree with that, but I think if you're would Giannis be the least off the bounce creation in that? I don't know if that's correct to say, but if the lineup is Drew, Grayson, Wara, Chris, Giannis, that's a lot of offense. I'd say Grayson is probably Grayson. Probably Grayson. Yeah.
But there's just so many. I think that's what's exciting. I mean, we didn't even talk about Ojale, who kind of I would view him more as like a defensive minded player. Like you'll take what you can get with his offense, obviously.
Yeah.
But the fact that they just kind of, I don't know, maybe it's the fact that like I was sticking into the offseason and I did not watch any of the preseason. I explained why I wanted to save it for ring night and not have, you know, I won't get into my reason further, but like it just kind of dawned on me watching it where it's like they have so many. It's not just the deep roster. It's the way that they can play in so many different ways that like last year, honestly, could have just been scratching the surface in that sense, which is very exciting to see.
And I think they're clearly – I think my favorite part about it is they're doing that while seeming to acknowledge Giannis at the five is the future. Of the team. Like, that's where we're going. Every guy they brought in was like, oh, this guy would work well as the insert number 1-4 with Giannis at the five in these lineups. Like, that's why you bring in Semi and Hood and you give War an expanded role. Like, let's figure out let Pat play more at the four. Like, let's figure out how we can unlock this more. And even, I think this is a more of a reach, but even Mamu to an extent, like, kind of that Portis-esque, like what can we find more guys who are like 4/5s who maybe offensively can stretch a little bit? I don't know. Maybe that's a little bit of a stretch, but
it might be
a couple of years. But
no, I don't think he's not going to play this year in serious games. But
I will say that he had a nice verticality. I think in his, I mean, he didn't play much, but there. And for as much as like the concerns I had about him defensively and, you know, what his rep was, I guess, coming out of Seton Hall, like if he just gives effort on it, energy and effort, that old cliche.
He moves better than I expected.
Yeah, he moved that. I almost had a stroke here.
Picture me with my big white collars. Right. There we go.
Rohan, I can't believe we've gotten this long without you exploding.
I know, I'm waiting.
There it is.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly, just to I'll let you go. This is your guy. I was pretty impressed. I was pretty impressed with the run.
What's not to like? What can you tell me one thing he was bad at?
No. I think my favorite is the way
he only had one foul tonight, which
that's incredible.
Exactly.
Is that a career low when he's actually played?
He pulled a Bledsoe also with the hands behind his back regarding Harden.
I noticed that right away.
The funniest part is he can't commit to it. He can't help himself. Every 5 seconds, one of them comes back. He's like, no, I can't. I love the Nassus, man.
It was a perfect performance. Yeah, I hesitated, but I'm going. I'm saying it with chest. Perfect performance.
I would agree. The other thing too, this has nothing to do with the basketball. It was nice to see him have his moment and celebrate ring night just because he couldn't do it when they clinched.
It really was.
Like, that was the same with Paschke being the MC. I'm taking this off course. I'm sorry. But Paschke being the MC obviously it was nationally televised and all that stuff, but he would have been part of the celebrations, all that stuff for the same reason. But he was, I believe, had COVID during that time. Like, it was cool to see Thanasis be Thanasis in that sense. And then, you know, when opportunity comes calling for him, like he looked good. It was against Millsap.
He took him off the dribble, right?
Yeah, he took him off the dribble and did like his little I don't know what you call it. It's like he's making a pizza and you throw it in the air, but it's like with the basketball.
He does it really well.
I don't understand how it works. But yeah,
it's a weird attempt at a floater.
It's an underhand skyhook. Like, did you see the commercial or the NBA 75 thing with like Dirk and Kareem showing him? Maybe Kareem showed Thanasis how to do the flying through the air contorted underhand pizza version. I like calling it the pizza, the Palermo's floater from Thanasis there.
No free bread deals, Ty.
So yeah, true. The local brand pizza floater scoop from Thanasis. I will say they needed him in this game. And I think they're gonna need him as long as Semi and Portis are both out. Like, he is what was he there? If you count Pat, he's their second bench big. If you don't, he's basically their bench big. Like it's important. In the immediate scheme of things, long term maybe not. But right
plus
now,
plus 8 and 12.5 minutes.
Did I hear Ty doubting an Antetokounmpo?
Never. Long term. You know I wouldn't do that.
Well, I just heard it.
Relax. It's especially important in the short term while they're without so many players. Like, they just need him, and I think that it's one game, but it's nice to see him play a little more controlled defensively and only pick up the one foul, because TA is a guy you can get 4 fouls in like 3 minutes, and that it could have gotten 10. We could have gotten more Mamu.
I'll take the moment where he was kind of overplaying Harden and he kind of shook him off a little bit off the dribble, rather than, you know, just kind of be battering Ram.
Tackle him. Especially a guy like Harden who lives for that.
Yeah. Also made both of his free throws, which is very rare for the Nasty.
I wonder if he is just next to Giannis doing the same shooting workout the entire time. Like, they might mirror. They might have had the same peaks and valleys throughout their careers.
Oppenheimer's doing double the work, or he's two-for-one sessions.
It's like when you split a cable box, like it goes to Giannis and Thanasis. It's the same input.
But it was great. Like you both mentioned, they're going to need him, especially at the start of the season. It's just, it's great to see. I've firmly been a believer in Thanasis during his tenure with the Bucks. So it's nice to see it pay off. It really is.
It is. Some quick hitters here. We said we were going to go short. We didn't. Who is shocked?
Else is new?
I know. Chris just continues to look really good. I think I don't have a ton, which is sad, but just thought a really good Chris game. I thought he looked good initiating the offense more with Drew out, and took the KD shifts, and I thought did a pretty admirable job on KD. Again, KD's always going to get his. I know Stan Van Gundy who, so glad, Stan. I mean, sorry you got fired, my guy, but glad you're back in the booth because it is.
I think he's glad to be back in the booth.
Too. Yeah, I think he is. I mean, hey, there's no better situation than a coach getting fired 1 year into a deal and walking back into a just basically getting double cash for like 4 more years. Stan Van Gundy, a hustler.
And if we're being honest, might have dodged a bullet considering what's going on.
Yeah, I hear there's more in the Zion pipeline coming too. So we'll see more news. I don't know what that's going to be. Yeah. But I just thought Chris really good. 1 for 4 from deep. So again, like Giannis, not a great variance game from Chris and was not getting a whistle. He shot 4 free throws. 3 of them were on a flagrant that he went under him. So I guess he had an and one at one point. I don't remember. But just solid game. Great to see him starting off hot. I know you said this before, Rohan, like doesn't always do that. So it's nice to see that happening.
It's just good just to get into a rhythm right away. Like we talked about, he's been active all summer playing basketball. So that's probably helping a lot. But yeah, it's like the shooting. We should not be worried about Chris Middleton's shooting efficiency.
No. Oh, no.
Come on.
No.
Yeah.
Like this. No, I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying in general. That we should not overreact to that. Like, come on, this is Chris Middleton we're talking about. This is he's better than prime Paul George. What are we talking about here?
I loved his first two small backup post. I think it was first quarter.
Javon Carter. Yeah.
You can be the greatest 6'3" defender of all time, dude. You're not stopping that. If you're 6'3". Yeah, he's not even. Yeah.
That's how you know you're back. The Bucks dominating the boards. Chris Middleton just shooting over guys. It's just Bucks basketball is back, baby.
Mm-hmm. It truly
it's
is.
It's wild that we're back. Like, it feels
I'm like we never left. Soon, And literally, they won the championship 3 months ago. I think it's tomorrow. It's going to be 3 months tomorrow.
That is wild.
And it's like, it feels like it's been like 2 weeks.
It's a weird frame of reference, but I have to keep reminding myself the Pat Connaughton contract is less than 1 year old.
Yeah.
That's how weird the NBA
is. Same Giannis, the whole.
Oh, yeah. We're not even at a year there.
That's
10 months. Yeah, that was. Oh, no. Wait, was it December?
Yeah.
It was December.
It was like a couple days before the start of the season.
Yeah.
How far we've come.
I know. I think the last guy we didn't really talk about was George Hill. Not a great. Oh, yeah, Brooke. Yeah.
Brooke.
Let Brooke look good.
Yeah, everybody there, like, there was no, I mean, people had down, you know, shooting nights like Grayson or, you know, whatever the case may be, but no one looked outright bad.
Yeah.
You know, like everybody, when you lead the Nets as handily or beat the Nets as handily as they did, like, it was a very complete performance all around.
Yeah. I mean, Brooke with 3 blocks and the shot looked pretty good. 2 for 4 from Brooke. I do like just the way the guys are like, I know Let It Fly had some negative connotations for the Bucks for a while, but I just thought everyone's shots, like the way they were shooting just looked really good. But I think, you know, our take on, I don't know, Jordan, where you were at, but on like the Bucks win total, like projections, but Rohan and I were like 60 plus going into the year.
I don't know if I would have gone that hi.
You famously didn't make a prediction.
I didn't make a prediction, but we had a question about someone had future bets. I think the line for it was over unders. I think it was like 54.5 or something like that. And I felt like, I mean,
that's
comfortably over.
Yeah.
And if you're a 1-2 seed, you're generally going to eclipse that mark, especially even as improved as the East seemingly looks to be.
The thing about that, though, is every team except the one the Bucks just beat by 20 or whatever, 23, without 5 rotation players, is clearly worse. Like, every team you're basically playing, except for Brooklyn, is not worse than they were, but they're worse than the Bucks, and it's not all that close. I just think even if the middle is better, I don't think that's a negative for the Bucks win. I don't think it matters, right? Like,
oh, because some of those teams are going to be worse. Like, Orlando's probably another – Five seed.
Orlando.
Top 5, like, lottery team. Like, they might be even top 3.
Yeah, I think so.
Might be top 1.
Yeah.
They're going to be bad.
Poor John. John Hammond deserves something nice. Can we get Wemby down there or something? Like, something. No, you know what?
What do you mean? They have Robin Lopez.
That's true. They do. In John Hammond fashion, it'll be like, if they pick 15 this, well, that's the issue. I don't know how they're going to get up to 15. Whatever. But I think this was
a trade with the Heat.
Okay. I like what you did there. Or Chicago. No, they already did trade with Chicago, so that's how they'll get to 15. This was a very positive game, I think, for the Bucks win a lot of games case, though, because without a lot of players against a very good team,
that's the thing.
They ended up shooting really well, and they won comfortably. So, you know, I don't even know what to say. I guess, like, Pat was the variance guy in this game, 4 for 9 from deep. Nobody else. I mean, Wara, like a couple guys hit 50%. That's not that unusual. Pat was actually less than 50%, so maybe he wasn't the variance guy. But like, just if they're healthy and they have more bodies, I just think they're going to steamroll a lot of teams. So it's going to be a fun year. I mean, honestly, I came away from this game like, holy crap. I keep saying they're going to be really good, and that was my preseason takeaway too. Just like, they have a lot of guys who can play and they look very good together, and they're doing more fun stuff offensively. Just it's still the case. They're going to be awesome. It's going to be a great year. And I know I say this constantly, but like, and I think it's easier now post championship, but like, enjoy every game where they look this awesome. Like, it's this, don't take this for granted. Don't try to skip to postseason like 2K. Let's have fun, folks.
I think too, because it is against the Nets, there isn't that like, this like Goliath factor. They've slayed them. You know what I mean? And granted, it's, you know, it's different environments. It's not game 7 of, you know, 3-3 series in the second round of the playoffs. It's the opening night game. But like, even when it was kind of getting close at times where Nets are making the run close to the end of the second quarter, and kind of just, you know, breathing down the Bucks' back a little bit, it just didn't have that intimidating factor that like it felt in those moments. And granted, again, have to specify or clarify, the environments are totally different, but like, it just, the fact that they have beaten the team as stacked as they are, and everybody views them as, you know, title favorites. You know, if you look at people I respect and their work and all that stuff, like, it's crazy how I think that was one of my biggest things, is like, how does watching them climb the mountaintop and now, like, you know, this quest to go back to back, how does that like experience feel like? Because we just never have ever felt that outside of the Packers. And it's very weirdly calming in the fact that you just like, they've done it before. Like, you kind of feel like they're going to do it again. And it's considering it, that's like it should be like whiplash because of how everybody talked about them, you know, just a couple months ago, like, oh, they could do this. They could never do this. You know, they're not, look at their offense. Look at their Coach Bud's doing like all, like, we would just glom onto these little things. And now it's like everything just, you know, has fallen into place in terms of just like watching this team and not feelings just the way we felt about the Bucks before.
I think just to the point on how they looked against Brooklyn specifically, they never, like, the principals, especially the guys who played and were here for the championship, but I mean, even Wara to an extent, who didn't really play but was there, like, I just think at no point did anyone like, outside of like the new guy, like Grayson Sting, and a little bit Wara at the very beginning, nobody looked tight. Like, the Nets push it to 5, and it's like, oh, they're so good. And for a while, they're just hitting every single 3, and it's like Chris and Giannis and Brooke and Pat and to an extent Wara. Okay, we're just gonna go back down and score again, or we're taking too many jumpers. We're gonna go inside for 3 straight possessions. Giannis is gonna take over and grab every rebound. Like, it just looked. Not to make it sound like they weren't having fun, because they were, but it was just more like matter of fact. Like, we know how to do this. Like, we know we know exactly what we can do to win this game, like, against this team. We're just like, let's just go execute. Like, we know what to do here. And I still think the good news for the Bucks in a potential probable Nets Bucks series is, I think they have, like, the Nets have less counters than the Bucks do to what each team wants to do. Like, the Bucks went into that mode when they had to, and the Nets had no answer, and the Bucks, every time it got close, oh, now it's a 16-point lead again, and that's that, with KD on the floor, which I just think, it's just so impressive, man. Like, I know they're down. We started calling him Voldemort on our Nets-Bucks preview pod, the Net who shall not be named. But, like, it's still a team with James Harden and Kevin Durant, and the fact that the Bucks can go out there and just blitz lineups with those guys is just ridiculously impressive. And I think, again, not something I want to take for granted, because the thought of that happening, the thought of KD and Harden both being minus 20 in a game like this 2 years ago is like unfathomable.
It's weird.
To sum it up, man, it's good. It's good to watch this Bucks team.
Yeah.
Man, it feels good to watch this Bucks team.
Oh, is this are you gonna do a Coolio remix? Damn, it feels good to watch this Bucks team. I'm not gonna try and do the next line. That could be tenuous, but yeah, it is. Do we have anything else? We're gonna do I know, we're over. Real quick, what was everyone's fast favorite part of Ring Night? I know, Jordan, you may be writing about this on the GSPN Substack. Go subscribe, gspn.substack.com. But for me, I will say I thought back to like Giannis watching the thing go up. It reminded me a lot of that video the Bucks made of him showing his parents the and it was more the retired numbers, but you can see the banner up there in that video. And Kareem, Oscar Robertson, maybe my number will be up there someday. Watching Giannis see the banner he led them to get unveiled. I just thought that was an awesome full circle moment. I feel like I think about Giannis' whole life a lot more. I think Mir and Fader, we probably owe a great deal of gratitude for that. But that was it for me. And Giannis in the tunnel was awesome too.
Mine's got to be Axel Toupin being there.
And that was dripping. That was cool. I wasn't just because PJ and Bryn are on like NBA teams.
Yeah,
so I was like,
no Diakite though.
It's true.
Yeah, it's or where's Justin Jefferson?
Justin Jackson.
Jackson. Damn it. The other guy.
Elijah Bryant's on the way to Turkey.
Yeah. Yeah,
did I miss them?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Jordan always has the latest Elijah Bryant.
I do.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Weirdly enough that Adam told me that because I didn't see that. I played that off. There was so many different moments.
Okay, wait. Can I say my serious thing? It's not actually too funny.
Yeah.
It's Giannis hugging Jim Paschke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great one.
That is the most wholesome stuff I have seen in a long time.
And Jim's shirt, the opposite of the Giannis shirt.
That was super cool. That was awesome.
Yeah. Man, it's going to be tough being without Jim this season.
I know.
And
Lisa rocks. Lisa rocks.
Lisa's really good, but it's tough without Jim.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jordan. Go ahead.
No, I think you kind of – I totally forgot about the moment. I would have to agree with you. That was like – it was the cherry – like it was the perfect – he wears the shirt – you know, because he missed the game six and all that stuff. And it was like the perfect kind of just like close the circle kind of thing. Full circle moment. There we go. I finally said it.
Yeah, I didn't even notice the shirt at first.
Yeah, he like just like was about to like walk past him and he's like, no, what? And he's like looking at it. That was pretty cool.
It was.
It's just wholesome.
Yeah,
wholesome content. We love wholesome Giannis content.
The pick of
content in general.
The pick of Giannis's smile during the hug is just like top notch.
And seeing him, when Thanasis was getting his ring too, and he was like smiling about that. Like, yeah, that was. It was very
it's the good stuff.
It was just well done. Everything about it was like perfect. Shout out to Herb Cole. Like that was.
Yeah, I'm glad he got to see this. I am very glad he got to see this.
I didn't anticipate that, and that was like a perfect moment. And you know, we have our feelings about him and how the Bucks were during his time, but we all know the significance of his, reason for being the Bucks owner and why the team still is here.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think finally we've exhausted our thoughts. I mean, when the game is this fun, you got to go long.
It's a big moment. It's a big day. This is a day that none of us will ever forget. It's an incredible experience. We got to see the Milwaukee Bucks get their championship rings. Another banner lifted into the rafters.
QR codes.
Yeah, the QR codes.
Can we make it so the link tree for GSPN comes up on the QR code.
I actually have that. I was gonna do that joke of like like, oh, this is what happens when you scan it and it goes right to
that would be fine.
bit.ly/findGSBN.
Yeah. Let's get in contact with the Jostens or whoever. I know it wasn't Jostens.
It's Kay Jewelers.
Yeah.
Kay Jewelers.
Well, it's also they had someone from LA do it too, I think.
Yeah.
Designer.
And Brandon Jennings.
Brandon Jennings.
Apparently, yeah. When they show the video of like the guy like engineering the stones and putting it on, I was expecting for it to pan out and just be Brandon Jennings. Like he's really, really in the lab.
I thought it was gonna be Neil Wayne. That's what he does on Bachelor. Sorry, that's a very obscure reference.
All right, we got to the Bachelor. Rohan.
Okay, let's wrap this up. This has been an incredible episode of the Eurostep Podcast Network. It's our first collab in a bit. We're going to be doing a lot of collabs because guess what, everyone? The season is here. I mean, you already know that. We just talked about game one of the ring ceremony. Whatever, I'm rambling. We're fully back since I'm rambling. No, thank you for listening to this episode. Make sure you are subscribed on your podcast platform of choice. Subscribe to the Substack. gspn.substack.com. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, Eurostep Podcast Network on YouTube. Make sure you leave a 5-star rating on Apple. Everything else doesn't matter. Just don't bother with one.
We appreciate all listeners. We get allegations that we're Apple biased. We appreciate all listeners.
Oh, 100%. We appreciate every single listener. I love all of you. That sounded really weird. It's... Let's just thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next time.